everybody. Welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm super excited for this week's show because 1994 month continues. We're talking Star Trek Generations, which means I am joined by the growing up nerdy boys.
Hey,
Mike Pomero.
Hey, everybody.
And Adam Thaws.
Engage.
Thank you, number one. This is going to be the dorkiest thing you've heard all month, at least, if not all year. But the year is young. We are talking about 1994 movies this month in the run-up to F This Movie Fest, which is happening on February 24th. Six movies from 1994, beginning at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, that we tweet through using the hashtag F This Movie Fest. For the lineup and details, please go to fthismovie.com and click on the tab at the top of the page that says F This Movie Fest 2024. You can read all about it if you've never done it before. If you're new to the show, if you're like, ooh, a Star Trek Generations podcast, let me listen to this. We're sorry. but you should join us for F This Movie Fest on February 24th. How you doing, boys?
I'm fantastic.
I'm good.
Good.
How are you, Patrick?
Thanks for asking. Nobody ever asks me. I'm okay.
Okay. I'm excited to be back.
I'm excited that you're back. It's been too long.
I know. And I'm right down the street, Patrick.
I know. Well,
I keep waiting for a call-in at the last second, like, Adam, I need a sub.
Any time you want to come on, please come on. You want to talk Street Fighter? I'm sorry, we already did that show.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out. That's all. That was my list.
Any other podcast? We were just talking about the last time we did this was during the pandemic. We talked about Zack Snyder's Justice League, a movie I haven't watched or thought about since that podcast.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same.
Have you seen the new Zack Snyder movie?
I have not.
Rebel Moon?
I was going to, and then you were like, don't see
it. It's unwatchable.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who usually likes Zack Snyder movies.
He's come on some rough times.
Yeah, I didn't like the zombie one either in Vegas.
No.
I'm all about the Owls of Ga'Hoole. That's a movie that he made.
I was going to say, that's a thing?
Legend of the Guardians.
That I know. Yeah. I was like, Owls of Ga'Hoole.
When I say Legend of the Guardians, an expression that means nothing, you're like, yeah.
I remember seeing advertisements for that.
Owls of Ga'Hoole should be sticking in your brain more than Legend of the Guardians. Legend of the... It's just Mad Libs. It's just two fucking words. Whatever. Anyway... boys, who's seen something good lately? Just hit me.
I
don't care who goes first.
All right, I'll go first.
Okay, yes, go
thank you.
Because then yours, Adam, will feel like, I'm telling you, will be better than that. So, I say that because Christy and I have been on a kick lately where we have been watching movies about, like, medieval and post-medieval England. So, we've watched... Exactly. So we've watched like The King on Netflix, where Timothy Chalamet plays King Henry V.
Did Evie watch it with you?
No, she wanted us to watch it first.
Okay.
And give our review.
Okay.
And our review was this. It's not great. And it's too bad because we like Timothy Chalamet. That's a movie that...
Is it a movie or a show?
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay.
And it's a movie that you could tell, I don't know, let's say it's 2 hours long. Was originally 3 hours long, and they cut it.
Cut.
Oh, my God. It's
kind of like the Zack Snyder Justice League. Maybe should they have a longer cut?
Justice League, the Owls of Ga'Hoole.
And then we watched, like, Mary, Queen of Scots, Margot Robbie, Saoirse Ronan. I love them.
It's this is fine. Making me feel better about my list. I just want you to know.
I warned you. We watched...
It's like your TV broke on the History Channel. That's all we get now.
Listen, Ice Road Truckers. That was it, man.
We're watching The Tudors.
Oh, my God. I get it. Which, like, you're taking a trip.
Is there something that, like...
Come on,
I know,
man.
Well, I'm
did something spark this?
I have to give an answer, don't I?
I know what
did something spark this?
Yes.
Like, what? Why did all of a sudden you guys are England, bro?
Well, because we're going. We're going to go to
England. Okay.
For our... 20th, but okay, this is on brand. A couple years ago, so I've been kind of obsessed with this, though, for like a couple years. I've read a bunch of books, and I love it, because George R. R. Martin in every other interview is like, yeah, no, like Game of Thrones is totally, you know, Plantagenet era, Wars of the Roses era. So I was like, well, I want more Game of Thrones books and Song of Ice and Fire, excuse me.
Yeah, come on.
And The Winds of Winter is not
out yet.
You're
talking the real ones here.
Right. It'll be out any day now, I'm sure. So I started buying these like history books, and I was like, these are fucking fascinating. He is right. Like, he cribbed so much from real history. So it's, yeah. So it's fascinating. So that's where like my initial interest was. And we are going to go to England for our 20th wedding anniversary. So we decided, like, let's watch a bunch of historical English movies. Okay. And it just hasn't gone great. And again, we're like watching The Tudors right now. And I have a total, I didn't realize what analogy I have to Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Oof.
So I'm having a hard time getting through that. So that's, so I hope that.
Are you going to England in the past?
Right. Well, that's the shit I'm interested in. Like, I am interested in like the historical.
I'm just saying, I show up here again. And we start talking about Game of Thrones. Do you want to talk about Doctor Who or on it going in the past? Like, do we want to go down that road?
I mean, other than, like, that's literally like what we have been watching outside of like the movies I watch for reserve seating. And,
okay. By the way, everyone, it's Mike Month at reserve seating. YouTube.com/@thismovie.
You know what? I've been looking forward to this. I was like, why haven't they done this sooner?
Mike Month on reserve seating, it could be Adam Thaas Month. Because it's all the, we've done American movies so far. We did Desperado.
Fuck yeah.
Today.
You missed me.
We did one. Yeah, exactly. Adam Risky quotes that. We also, a non-English history movie. I rewatched Django Unchained the other day.
I want to give that one a watch again. How was it again?
I think it's great. It's the Tarantino movie I revisit the least because I think like that middle third is just hard to watch.
Yes, I agree.
But I think it's still pretty great. Very taken by, like, this time especially by the performances. Like, Christoph Waltz, I think, is really fucking...
He's great.
Incredible. In that
movie. He won an Oscar for that, right?
He did.
That's what I thought.
He did. Jamie, and, like, I'm also watching thinking, like, what would this movie be if Will Smith had actually starred in it?
Django would have said, oh, hell no, a lot more.
He would have, because I think Jamie Foxx... I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I think Jamie Foxx is actually pretty perfectly cast. Everyone's great in it, from Don Johnson to his little role.
He's amazing.
He's so good.
Yeah. Tarantino brings out the best in a lot of actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. He casts very well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what am I going to say about Django Unchained? It's pretty great. What are your thoughts on Django, Patrick?
I like it a lot. There were a couple years there where I was revisiting it quite a bit. I also think it might be his weakest movie, mm-hmm. which is to say that it's still really, really good, and his weakest movie is probably somebody else's best movie. Yeah.
I think I agree with you that it's the one I enjoyed the least.
Okay.
But it's still amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That the squib work in Django and Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
Shout out to Greg Nicotero. Is so much fucking fun. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, Adam, how about you?
Adam,
you're up.
All right. My son is they are learning about World War II in school. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
So I rewatched Midway. The movie Midway.
You rewatched Midway?
I've watched it once before.
That implies. All right. Go ahead.
I'm a bit of a nerd for the history stuff.
Yeah, well, I thought we already covered this.
Oh, this is perfect.
Did I say something wrong?
No, I just laughed that like Patrick suffered through me talking about like historical pictures that Christy and I are watching, and you're like, I got that beat.
Midway.
For the second time.
There are things that I do like about that movie. It's very hard, I think, for a lot of directors and you know, writers to do a war epic, and this tries to be a war epic, and I think it doesn't succeed at that. I think it tries to do too much. But there is some fantastic visuals in it, and I think that it was really awesome for, you know, my son to see this, and like, but when I'm going away from it, like, you try, you don't want to get, like, I mean, he's 10, so you don't want to be, like, you don't want to get the horrors of war in, like, you don't want to express that to him, mm-hmm. but, like, he walked away, and he's like, war is awesome, and I'm like, ah, shit. I'm like, it's, like, not what I really wanted to you to get out of this, but.
Time for Private Ryan.
Yeah, right, there we go. Like in Sticky Bombs.
Yeah. Just show them the first, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I've been making some parental mistakes. We had this conversation before. My son got into horror movies.
Yeah.
And I've been going through horror movies, and I've found that, like supernatural stuff scares the hell out of him. And I have had a hard time putting my son to bed because he thinks that, you know, ghosts are in the house. So we've stayed away from that. What he seems to do okay with is monster movies. So I've been slowly making my way through monster movies, and I'm thinking in my head, okay, what are monster movies? Just like
the, you know, monsters of war.
Yeah, right. There we go. So we get to
you want
to
see a real monster? Ray Fiennes and Schindler's List. Right.
There we go. Let's go. We're just going to jump right into the deep end, kid. I showed him The Descent, and we started watching The Descent. And the first part of the movie, I mean, there's really nothing scary going on. It's a movie about people stuck in a cave, which is already scary enough.
Yes.
And then the monsters show up, and I'm watching it with him, and I'm looking at his eyes. And I look at him, and I'm like, you okay? He's like, I don't think I should watch this anymore. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, man, I am really failing at this dad stuff right now.
That is the one horror movie that Christy won't watch again.
Oh, I love that movie.
Like, she'll rewatch, you know, she gets scared at horror movies, but what watches them with me all the time. That's one where she's like, nope, I'm not doing The Descent again, because it scared the hell out of her. That, we watched Black Christmas. She watched that for the first time.
The OG?
Yeah, the okay. OG. That yeah. really messed her up.
Yeah, it's upsetting. Those phone calls are
it's the phone
freaky.
Calls specifically. Like,
that's good to know, though, because now I can call her.
We know her sweet
mumble
spot.
A bunch of gibberish into the phone and really freak her out.
All right, now we're gonna get down into it here for a second.
Oh,
okay? Guys, I'm a comic book fan here, guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know this about me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've watched two recent Marvel movies, and I watched them with my kids. Okay. So I showed them back to back with them because the first one went over splendidly. I showed both of them Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Okay.
That movie is fantastic. It is everything that I love out of these superhero movies. And, like, if they could all be like that, we would be totally fine. So I'm there with my daughter, and I'm like, all right, let's go with the girl power thing. Marvel's just got released on Disney, right? And we started watching Marvel's. And I'm having issue with Marvel, not necessarily like their movies. Like, they're fine. Like, they're still high quality, in my personal opinion. Okay, but they need to, at some level, have some kind of, not necessarily reboot, but like, I was able to follow the story of the Marvels because I'm a comic book fan and I know who these people are. But my son and daughter did not grow up with Marvel movies. They were completely lost. They had no idea what was going on.
Sorry, were they lost because they were unaware of Marvel movies or the Marvel comic books?
The Marvel, the story they're on. Like, I don't want to give too much away of it if you want to see the Marvels, but it's like you have to watch so many of the other movies, and you got to watch the Disney TV shows kind of, like, understand what's happening. Like, it's And I had to keep, like, pausing it and be like, Dad, who are those blue aliens? Okay, those are the Kree. Okay, who are those green aliens? Well, those are the Skrull. Well, they don't like each other because they were, and it's like, and I'm like, this story is way too big now for me to be able to describe this to people who haven't seen these movies. So if Marvel wants a younger generation to come into these, and maybe they don't, maybe they're totally fine with just, you know, going with the fans they already have, but they've got to do something as far as, like, either change the story completely, but, like, or just stop, you know, scaffolding off right. of the one right before it, because it's just not working anymore. I was even a little like, okay, why is she mad at her? I don't remember what happened in that last movie or that TV show. Right.
And I feel like, and maybe I'm making this up, but I feel like Marvel has acknowledged that.
Okay.
A little bit.
I think between the Marvels underperforming and Ant-Man and the Ant-Man, Quantumania underperforming, and the Jonathan Majors stuff bowing out of all the Kang, and they're going to have to rework all the Kang stuff, and Blade is falling apart. The only movie they've got coming out this year is Deadpool 3, and I think it's going to buy them some time to course correct a little bit and maybe rethink their approach. But I could be wrong.
Yeah,
I think it worked for a while that people were going to these movies to see what happened next in the story.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing comics do. That's why I read that's why I still read comics. So I want to see what happens next. But it's hard because I think, you know, I think back when I started reading comic books back in the 90s, I had a really good, like, entrance into it because, like, the CBS Flash show had come out. It didn't last long. It lasted like a year and a half. But Flash, at the time, they were doing, like, one-issue stories. Like, it was one issue. And, like, so I was able to get into that and was able to start reading it. But then I remember, like, starting to go out from there, and you're reading X-Men, and they're talking about all these characters that you have no idea what's going on. It's a lot to, like, absorb and figure it all out. So I can't imagine, you know, doing it in a movie rather than, like, just a comic that somebody can be like, oh, yeah, go back and pick up that issue, and you'll understand what's happening.
Right.
I don't want to say it was like the Disney plusification of Marvel that made them lose their way, but like the addition of all the shows and needing to 100%. Follow the shows, I think threw them off. It was just, it's like too much content and too much to keep straight. I could be wrong. Again, there's people who love all of it and look forward to every new show and look forward to every new movie. And so for me, that was when I checked out.
If they're gonna do the shows, I feel like I wish they would do like they did. I didn't like it, but like Moon Knight was this story they told about this Marvel character. It had nothing to do with anybody else.
Okay,
so like do that, like right. Do these little stories about these characters,
right,
that some people might be invested in, maybe some won't, and tell a good story, and right. People are gonna watch those, but it's just too much.
I was just going to say something. Oh, even when I was reading comics, like my favorite two books, because I'm more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy, were Spider-Man and X-Men. But like you had to collect 4 to 5 titles, not
yep.
just every issue yes. of every X-Men, but 5 different X-Men books to even follow what's going on. And same with Spider-Man. It was like, and then when the books, you know, became $4 each or whatever, I bailed. I don't know.
It happens when a book gets really, really popular because there was years there where I was, excuse me, I was reading Green Lantern. Green Lantern wasn't very popular, so
yeah.
There was one Green Lantern
right,
book,
right.
And then all of a sudden, that was the book, and it was like, oh my God, I'm collecting 6
right.
6 Green Lanterns a month? Like, I
yeah.
can't even read this many. It's
yeah.
just like
well,
too much.
Right, and then we were reading comics in the 90s when the speculator boom happened. And
of course.
They wanted,
right.
They wanted issue ones.
Right.
Yep.
So that was another reason why we got so many spinoffs, was so they can have, you know.
Super Pro number one.
Yeah, Adam has. Oh, Charlie might like that. Super Pro number one is an NFL superhero.
Oh.
It lasted 3 yeah. issues. I have all 3 issues. Don't worry, guys.
You have the whole run?
I have the entire run of NFL God. Super Pro.
Hold on, I'm putting it up on eBay. There's already a bid.
There we go. it's not a very good condition copy. I'm
they'll
just
give
letting
you $12 to keep it.
Okay. Done.
Easiest $12 you ever made.
Woo. You buy a record player.
Everything you just need. $16,088 more dollars. Yep. So I have only been watching stuff from 94. I don't know what to talk about. I'll choose three sort of at random. I rewatched Interview with the Vampire for the first time, maybe since the theater. Where are you boys at on Interview with the Vampire?
I'm not sure.
I'm positive Christy loves it.
Yes, I was going to say, like, do I bring her up again?
As I was saying it, I was like, vampires and pretty men? Of course she loves it.
She loves it, and we recently bought it because I don't think I've seen it since the theater either, but we have not rewatched it. So I remember liking it enough when I saw it, but I couldn't talk about it.
I had a different experience with it. Like, it had come out. It was in the theaters. People watched it on video, and everybody was like, oh, my God, Interview with the Vampire. I love it. I love it. Love it. And then, like, years later, I saw it for the first time, and I was like, it's fine. Like, I don't understand what the hype was all about. Like, it's okay. I don't hate it, but
no. I did not love it. And I don't remember loving it in the theater, but I liked it even less this time. It looks great. Like, the photography is great. The costumes, the sets, everything is sort of first rate. I think Tom Cruise and Kirsten Dunst are the only ones giving good performances. Like, I know Tom Cruise got criticized at the time for his casting. Now I think he's one of the only things that works about the movie. Kirsten Dunst is the best thing in it as Claudia, the little girl vampire. Brad Pitt is still in that period where, like, he's learning how to act and is out of his depth. Yes, your master's cursed. Or no, this house is, what's the line? Yes, this house is cursed and your master is the devil. It's really not good. Really not good stuff. I apologize to Interview with the Vampire fans who I know are legion. This movie is beloved. It ranked pretty low for me on my 94 rewatches. I rewatched With Honors.
Oh, that's the Joe Pesci one, right?
Yes, it is. He's a homeless guy at Harvard. Can you believe it?
Oh my God! Is it hijinks?
Surprisingly hijinks free because it wants to tug at your heartstrings.
Oh,
it doesn't seek to really make you laugh, more to make you feel. And I apparently have seen this movie a lot of times because, like, lines of dialogue were starting and I was like, I know how this line ends and I don't know why.
How did you see this movie so many times?
Cable, I guess. I've never owned a copy. So it's not like I put it on all the time, but I must have watched it a lot in the 90s. I remember going to see it at Barrington 6 with my brother, like one of the only times he and I went to a movie, just the two of us, and it was With Honors.
I remember when you, Adam, wanted to watch Midway, and Patrick's like, nope.
Yep, we're watching With Honor. I was like, but Patrick, war epic.
Beckett, we're going to watch this movie where the monster is homelessness.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't that movie come out like Pesci was on a run there for a while? Like he had.
Well, this was him cashing in on his run.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay,
where we had like Joe Pesci vehicles, like Jimmy Hollywood, and the Super. And
the Super.
Is this before or after? Oh my God, my cousin Vinny.
I think after.
I think it's after.
I think it goes like Goodfellas wins him the Oscar. My cousin Vinny is like, let's see if he can take this out for a spin. And that's a huge hit. So then we get some more Joe Pesci movies. I actually think the supporting cast of With Honors, it's another one of these movies that, like, it looks great. The cast is really strong. Brendan Fraser, who made this and Airheads in the same year, and is now an Oscar winner, of course, for The Whale. I think is really good in the movie. I think, you know, for a long time, he didn't get a lot of credit for his acting ability. Now, of course, he gets all the credit because he's an Oscar winner for The Whale. but I think he's really good. I think Patrick Dempsey, who was in this weird wilderness period between like being a teen star in Can't Buy Me Love and being an adult star on Grey's Anatomy, where he would just pop up and shit. And you're like, oh, my gosh, that guy. He's fun. Moira Kelly is always a welcome presence. It's Joe Pesci that's like kind of actively bad in the movie. He's making a choice where he's doing this weird voice and affectation. He has a couple of good scenes. He has a scene where he like goes to see his son that he abandoned years ago, and his performance in that
it's
scene.
It's heavy.
Oh, yeah, it's,
okay.
Oh, it's so heavy. It's so heavy. Not everyone makes it to the end of the movie. So his performance in that scene is like so good and understated, and you're like, oh my gosh, Joe Pesci, you're killing me. And then other times he like tells off the Harvard professor played by Gore Vidal by like talking about the beauty of the Constitution, and the whole class slow claps, and you're like, what is this fucking movie? But it doesn't matter, because I get to the end and like it freeze frames and Madonna's I'll Remember plays, and I'm like, this movie works. it's not good, but
Did you see that twist ending coming? Yeah. I did not see that twist ending coming.
It's not a good movie, but that probably wasn't the last time I see it. and then I'll talk about one more from 94, which is the biggest surprise of the month to me. I saw this movie once, second run in 1994. I was so angry at this movie, and I hated it, and it's called The Little Rascals.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, yeah, fucking Little Rascals. Like, all they did was make a Little Rascals movie. They didn't try to, like, what if they were in the 90s? And, like, they just, if you're somebody who is annoyed as shit by the Little Rascals, like, shorts from the 1940s, late 30s, yeah. Maybe, there's nothing for you here. But if you ever found the Little Rascals shorts to be, or our gang shorts to be charming, there's a lot to like. Like, the kids are really cute, and it's just completely straightforward. Like, hey, what if we made an updated Little Rascals for 1994? Except for the cameo by Donald Trump, I was like, hey, I'm all in on this movie.
Wow. That's a bigger twist.
Donald Trump is in the Little
Rascals. No, that Patrick.
Oh, okay.
His pick of the week is Little Rascals.
Little
of
Rascals, those, everybody.
Of those three,
yeah, no,
the one I enjoyed the most, I've been ranking all my 1994 rewatches on Letterboxd, and Little Rascals ranks surprisingly high.
All right.
What's your number one so far?
Quiz Show?
I love Quiz Show.
It's super good.
It's super good.
But again, I'm not rewatching Pulp Fiction, and I'm not rewatching Shawshank necessarily. Right. You know, I'm rewatching stuff like With Honors and Interview with the Vampire.
Is there any on your list that you're really looking forward to
that I'm going to rewatch?
Yes.
Yeah, I still have a huge stack of stuff. I don't remember any of it right now.
Okay,
I'm going to watch Double Dragon for the first time.
Oh,
I've never seen.
Oh. I remember not liking that, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone there.
Yeah, I'm not
Which
a fan
means
of that.
I'm probably going to be like, I don't know, it's pretty good.
Pair it with Little Rascals. I love it even.
Is Joe Pesci in it? I don't know.
Let's talk about Star Trek Generations.
Let's do it.
Gosh. We are all Star Trek fans.
Yes.
Huge.
So let me just start by saying, like, any Star Trek is, yeah, like, pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love Nemesis, the last Next Generation movie. Insurrection is okay. It's like an episode of the show. I'm fine with Insurrection. Mm-hmm. My memory was that this movie was better. It's like, I like it enough, but this was the worst it's ever played for me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, I'm in the opposite
corner.
Good. Yeah.
And I'm in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're a regular little rascal.
All right.
I'm a real Henry V.
Get out. Adam has to be like, I'm Switzerland.
I'm not saying or doing shit.
Okay, so you love it.
I'm
pretty
love
sure
it.
You said you love it.
I'm almost positive. This is going to be my Friday the 13th 7, mm-hmm, right?
Yep. That's how it happens.
All right. It just slowly creeps in. So I have a weird history with this movie in that there was this weird time where it was the only VHS that we like owned.
Okay.
Like we always would rent stuff from Blockbuster. So like we had this one. So it would just be like the thing if I was like bored and
I want to watch a movie. We only have one.
That's it. So, like, we put it in there. So, like,
did you ever say, I want to watch the movie?
The movie. The one we've got. Please, Father, can we have one more movie? No.
Mike just got a huge boner.
Do your British again, Adam.
Slower this time. And older. <You know.
laughs> But we would watch this one, and I remember, like, I think I almost overwatched it, if it makes sense, where it was just like, okay, I'm kind of sick of this movie. And then I think the other thing that I'm having with this one is I wasn't as big of a Star Trek guy when this one came out. I was more of a Star Wars guy when this came out. So, you know, for me, it was like, oh, where's all the battles and everything like that, you know? Because when we saw First Contact, I'm like, this is what I'm talking about, you know? But, like, now I've literally watched everything that Star Trek has.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it from a different lens than I did when I first watched it. So it played a lot better for me this time. But what did you not like?
Go ahead.
No, that was clearly to him.
I thought it felt too much like an episode of the show, which I like the show a lot. I just, if I'm watching a movie, I want it to feel more like a movie and less like an episode of the show. Again, I like it just fine because I just finished saying, like, Insurrection is like an episode of the show. I'll take it. I'll take Generations. That's fine. Part of me, I like the idea of, like, what if Kirk met Picard? I think it would go a little something like this. But I don't know that I needed it. Like, to me, it feels like the leap from this to First Contact, for me, feels like the leap from motion picture to Wrath of Khan.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, there's a bunch of stuff that works. There's some stuff I'm not crazy about. And again, I know people love the motion picture. I'm happy because I'm watching Star Trek. So, like, Generations, I'll fucking watch all day because I'm happy because I'm watching Star Trek. But then you get, it's like they iron out all the stuff, and then they get the movie where they're firing on all cylinders, and you're like, oh, this is what it was supposed to be. Okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my relationship is a little bit like yours, Adam, in that at the time when Generations came out, I did like Star Trek because I did watch Next Gen a bit.
When I was a kid.
But I had no real relation to the original series. That came later. That was, honestly, Patrick, I think you, years ago now, told me that the original series Blu-rays were on sale. So I picked those up, and oh my God, did I like fall in love with the original series. So I was thinking about it while watching Generations. Like, I think James T. Kirk, I don't know what my Mount Rushmore of like TV movie characters would be, but he might be on it. Like, I really, really love James T. Kirk. So like watching it this time, like you guys said, like, I'm just happy to watch any Star Trek. And even if it's like an episode, yeah, that's great. But like, I'm just so drawn to Kirk, this current version of me, that like it played, I still don't love it the way like I do First Contact, but it might have played a little better for me than it normally does, because I now have affection for not just the Next Gen cast, which we could talk about, I think is the perfect fucking cast,
most of whom get nothing to do in this movie.
Absolutely, totally. But just having Kirk and having like a few, there are like a few moments again that we could talk about that, like,
beautiful just, day.
Yeah. That comes upon Kirk for the first time and he's chopping wood.
Yeah.
And Kirk turns to him and says,
beautiful day.
That is one of those lines that Adam and I have said since 1994, but it's but
a couple
not,
thousand times to each yes, other,
but not as chill as Kirk actually. Like, if possible, we out Shatner when we do.
It's like every time we do it, it just got more and more. So like, you know, it would be, I, you know, come over to his house, be like,
beautiful day.
It's like not even words. It's like our dog. Like, this drives. I'm gonna bring Christy up again. It's too bad she doesn't ever listen. But when I come home and I see
we could use the listeners, to be honest. So if you could talk her into it.
I'll try again.
That would be great.
When I come home and I see our dog, I always say hello, obviously, because it's what you do. And then it's usually high-pitched. And then just over time, I'd be like, hello, hello. Then it morphed into ha-jo. Like, it's not even a real word anymore. It's just like, ha-jo, ha-jo. Then now I don't even try saying hello. I just say ha-jo, and I don't realize I'm doing it until finally Christy recently has had enough. She's like, I need
and
you to stop
these
saying
these are the divorce papers. Right.
Please stop saying ha-jo. So that's what beautiful day turned into for us.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
There goes Mike's mic. It's falling off the thing. Mike. The Nexus version of Kirk that we get at the end feels more like him just being Shatner.
Well, he was riding his horse. And
yeah, just kind of over all of it. Like, yeah. It just feels like I'm just watching Shatner. I'm not watching him play Kirk anymore. And then he remembers to be Kirk, and then he fucking dies, you know, because that's how you need to end any arc.
But I loved, and again, he just pulls on my heartstrings now, when he's in the Nexus and Kirk, when for a minute he thinks he's going to stay, and he said, I think the universe owes me one.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful line, I think.
No, there's a lot of great moments in this movie
that
I really loved, and like, okay, let's just talk about like the opening where Kirk comes out and like, I love how like he just wants to be in that captain's chair. And I think what I liked, and you know, kind of on the bigger arc, and yes, it's a little weird that like, let's make Picard and Kirk meet, but it's interesting how they found, you know, in the story that like they found this is their common thread. It's these two people that they're workaholics. This is what they've decided to do for their entire life. And, you know, Picard is at that point where he's like, you know what? This is all I'm going to do the rest of my life. And Kirk is on the other side of it being like, this is all I've done my entire life. And I'm kind of okay with it. You know, I have an opportunity to, he's given that opportunity to, hey, you can, you know, be happy for eternity.
Right, 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 right.
And he's like, you know what? I think I'd rather go back and get shot at again.
Right.
You know?
I wish, and I understand the decision to not have them together more in the movie, because obviously they're trying to launch a Next Generation movie series.
Yes.
And so it needs to be a Next Generation movie. But I do wish we had gotten a little bit more of like what's different about Kirk and Picard, because they're not the same character.
No, they're totally not.
But in that last act where they're together, they're kind of the same character.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
which
true.
I get, because like they're at a point in the movie where it's like they just have one thing that they need to do, and so they're both going to go about it the same way. It's not like they're going to argue over like, I think we should be diplomatic, and you know, the other guy's,
let's go punch somebody.
Right, exactly. Which is how they would approach it, but it's like, no, we need to just take out Soren. So good. I get it. I'm not dinging the movie for that. It's just,
you want a Kirk to have sex with Soren while
correct.
Right. And I fuck the Prime Directive. While
he can fuck that too. That's
right, exactly.
While and Picard just cucks.
You're right. I'm going to write this down.
Jean Cuck Picard.
This is how fan fiction starts.
this goes back a long way. There's a lot of, I'm sure, fan fiction already.
Positive.
This is such a weird thing to bring up, and then we can talk more big picture stuff about the movie. But like, when it opens on the Next Generation stuff, and they're out on the boat with Worf, and they're promoting him, Like, A, it's so fun to just see the cast together screwing around.
Yes.
And you're like, yay, this, I love this cast. I love this group. And I love seeing them together on screen. But part of me, too, was just like, man, 94, they just took a real boat onto real water.
It's true.
Yep. None of it's CGI.
No, like right. That movie, it would be so different now.
Yeah.
It looked amazing. It looked like fucking Master and Commander. I was like, wow, look at this.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. That's great.
So how do we feel about the Data subplot with the emotion chip?
I don't love it.
I don't love it either.
There's two Data plots. There's the one where he wants to find out where he came from, and then there's the one where he struggles with emotions. And this is one of them. Like, yeah, those are the only two things they ever do with Data. It's like Worf deciding, like, am I Klingon or human? It's not the best, and so I wouldn't even mind it as much because I appreciate that, like, more than one thing is happening in the movie. Because, again, now we don't really get B plots. We just have the A plot. The problem is it takes up so much real estate in the movie. And so Crusher and Troy and, to an extent, Riker and Geordi kind of have nothing to do, you know, because we're, like, watching Data cry over a cat.
Now, okay, along those lines, as far as, like, characters interacting with each other, there's moments in Star Trek where you're like, wow, these are actors who can really act, you know? They're just not, you know, pretty faces they put on there. And, like, it's that scene between Picard and Troy where he finally opens up on what he's been upset about. And, like, there's a moment where he just, like, he grabs Deanna Troy's hand, and I was like, oh, my God, that's exactly how that would be. Like, yeah, that's exactly how that moment would be between two people who genuinely care about each other.
Yeah. No, so. I love, of all the, like, ensembles, Next Generation is my favorite.
Same.
I agree.
It's not necessarily my favorite characters, because I'm a Kirk guy more than a Picard guy, and I'm a Spock guy more than a Data guy.
Right.
But in terms of the ensemble, Next Generation is my favorite.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's like the best lineup. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, to the point where, like, the series finale, when it ends, spoilers for the series finale of Star Trek The Next Generation, but it ends with them inviting Picard to the poker table, and it's just the seven of them playing poker. It's just, like, again, tugs at my heartstrings, and it's because that fucking cast, top to bottom, is so good. My favorite cast.
They were shooting the last season when they were gearing up to make this movie, right? The two things sort of happen at the same time. So it's not like where the original series ends and then we have 12 years or so before they come back for the movies. This is like, you're done watching them on TV, now go see them in the movie theater. But again, it feels like an extension of the show so much. Partly because it's like, well, the bridge kind of looks the same and they're wearing the TV uniforms. And it's like First Contact, they're like, no, we need to be cinematic now.
Yeah.
But I think because they had all this shit already because they were doing the show, it's just like, well, we're not going to spend a bunch of money on new uniforms and a new ship.
It's all right here. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, let's just use what we have. Two questions. One, why does every Star Trek movie have to destroy the Enterprise? And two... What is the chain of command on the Enterprise? Because at one point, Troy, who's like, I don't know, the ship's empath, is put in charge of the ship.
Is like, she?
Yes. They're like, he says, Troy, take the control.
Oh, my God, that's right. And she's like, fly the ship.
Really? It's all right.
There's a perfectly good android over there.
He's too busy crying over the fucking cat who almost was put in charge of the ship. Thank God Troy was there.
I think my biggest problem with this one is I think it's got a bad guy problem. I don't like Soren. As far as
I like the idea of Soren, but it's so similar to like Cybok in Part 5, and they want him to be sort of like Khan in 2. I like the idea of like, I found paradise and I want to get back there.
He's like a drug addict in that
sense. That's a neat idea.
Yeah.
But like, Yeah, it's just him standing around a desert or on board a Klingon ship.
Exactly.
Like,
at no point.
And the Klingon ship
feel,
was just a fucking mandate. Like, all the Klingon stuff was just because the writers were told, like, there needs to be Klingons in this.
Which I'm okay with.
No, I like Klingons. And it's fun to watch them get blown up.
Yeah.
Like, that, all that shit's cool. But it does just a little bit feel like a mandate where it's like, oh, you could probably write around all the Klingon stuff and all the kidnapping of Geordi and all the, you know, like, it doesn't need to be in the movie to tell the story that you're telling. But that's just me.
Can I give a story quibble? Please. Can I give a nerdy story quibble?
Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please. On this Star Trek episode? Yes. Sure. Yes. I guess.
This is my issue. Like, you're talking to somebody who saw this movie over and over and over. And this was my biggest issue with it is, like, so he goes into the Nexus and he can come out at any point.
Yeah.
Why not come out when you had Sorn in the, he's in 10 forward and you can just take him right there.
Right.
Like, just grab him right there and nothing else has to happen, you know? But no, it's like, oh, I gotta get Kirk and we gotta go fight these guys. And yeah, I don't really know what happened to the ship, but this is where I'm coming out, guys. This is where it's happening. It's like, no, why couldn't, that was my one, when I watched the movie for the first time, I was like, well, you could come out at a lot of points and make this a lot easier of a movie.
Yeah, it's, so the screenplay is by Ronald D. Moore. And is it Rick Berman or Brandon Braga?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Brandon Braga.
It's one of those two.
I'm almost positive it's Brandon Braga.
Because the Berman-Braga era.
Well, Berman is a producer on it, I believe.
Correct. It is Brandon Braga, and Rick Berman is a producer. They kind of are handed the controls to Star Trek then through what? Enterprise? Enterprise is them, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Voyager.
And people don't necessarily love their run of Star Trek.
Did they do DS9? I think they might have done DS9. And DS9 is my favorite.
Right. I know that.
So
Rob is currently watching DS9. Rob is going to be with us tonight. Shout out to Rob, who's instead taking a bullet and seeing fucking Madam Web. But he just finished watching all of Next Generation and was going to, and is now on to DS9.
Yeah, DS9. I mean, I've spoken about it before on this, but yeah.
Did Ronald D. Moore not have much to do with DS9? Do we know? When did
he wrote episodes?
Yeah,
I don't know that he was like a staff writer, but he might have been. I don't know.
Is Battlestar Galactica like his first like show running?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. I think so.
The only thing I know that happened,
and that was a great show right up through the end. Like, literally nailed it start to finish.
Man, for a while there, that show was so good.
Yeah, but it's like right as season four start, like the last season, it falls off hard. Is there any other shows that have done that?
Nope.
No other shows that have done that.
Other show nails it
all the way through.
All the way through.
Trying to beat me, thoughts.
I don't remember.
Only we had a book to reference.
I don't remember the last season. I just remember the last episode. Was the last season bad? What was the last season? Yeah,
Galactica.
It's fine. It's.
I don't know. That's actually a good question. I don't know if it was like the last episode. Yeah, or the last.
The last season was all the like sleeper Cylon stuff, right?
Yes, and it's like that was the big reveal during that entire last season. Who's the last seven Cylons?
Okay,
and then they reveal them, and you're like, oh. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, and then they have like a big battle, and that's kind of the end of it.
It's not the end of it, because you're not talking about the little wind-up toy robot.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. I should have brought that up.
Anyway, back to Generations. Sorry for the Battlestar Galactica tangent. Where does it rank for you guys, like in Next Generation movies and then Star Trek movies overall? I don't need an exact number.
I'd say after this last watching, I like it better than Insurrection.
Okay.
And I think I like it.
I need to rewatch Insurrection.
Yeah, me
there's
too.
There's that weird, like, Insurrection I'm fine with, and then there's this weird scene where they do, like, a standoff with a bunch of drones, and it's like, they're cowboys, It's fucking weird. And like, you're watching a movie and you're like, okay, all right, I'm sticking with you. I'm not crazy about this movie. And then all of a sudden, like, something happens. You're like, fuck this movie. Kind of like how I was with Green Lantern.
Yeah, but you weren't like that until we told you that it was
bad. That's true. So I like Generations better than Insurrection. I like it. I think I like it better than Nemesis.
You better like it better than Nemesis.
Yeah, I like it better than Nemesis. It is definitely not
First Contact.
First Contact's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's my second favorite of the next gens.
Okay.
It's probably middle of the road altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's lower middle for me for overall. Mm. My memory is that I like Insurrection better, but it's literally been years since I watched Insurrection. I definitely like it better than Nemesis. So it's either second or third of the next generation.
First Contact, your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so.
What am I? What are you, crazy?
Right.
No, of course. I saw First Contact even before I was like you guys, I was kind of watching Next Generation here and there. Didn't go see this movie in theaters because I just wasn't enough of a Star Trek guy at the time, but did go see First Contact in theaters like more than once.
Same.
Because yeah. I was like, saw even as a non-total Star Trek guy, that movie kicks ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
I remember we went and saw it opening night. We went and saw First Contact. But I remember going, we were at Ridge Cinema, and I walk into the bathroom, and there's a dude dressing up in his Vulcan costume. Like, he's putting the ears on and everything like that. And this is my first, I've never been to a comic book convention at this point. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, man? Like,
did you tell him there are no Vulcans in First Contact?
Right, exactly. We hadn't seen it yet. We didn't know. No, there is at the very end.
Oh, okay.
It's a Romulan.
There are some Vulcans.
Isn't that a Romulan?
No, I thought it was. That's a Vulcan ship.
Okay. All right. Whatever. I don't know.
Because at the end, he gives the live long and prosper to.
Yeah, he does.
There's no Vulcans in Generations. Unless you count Tuvok working the controls at the beginning.
I noticed that.
It is,
right?
Yeah, Tuvok's back there. There's two dead Romulans.
Right.
And that's about it. There's not a lot of aliens going on.
No,
I mean,
just
well,
the Klingons, I mean.
Well, in Sauron, he's technically an alien,
sure.
Right? Him and Guinan.
Why does Tuvok show up so much? Because he plays a Klingon in another episode. Yeah. And he's in this, and then they're like, we got to have this guy.
The guy who plays Nog in DS9, he shows up in Voyager playing like this, oh my God, what's the name of the race? I can't even remember, but like they hop across and there's like this other race and he's playing a character from that for like four or five episodes.
I love the premise of Voyager and I love watching Star Trek, but like I don't love Voyager.
Voyager's problematic. It's got that's putting it lightly. I've watched every episode of it.
I know.
It's got the worst. There's some epically bad episodes of Star Trek, and the one where somebody turns into like a salamander, and they just like write it off. They just like leave him on a planet. It's like, okay, you're a salamander.
I think I only got to season 4 of both Voyager and DS9.
Okay.
And I need to continue with both of them.
DS9 is that one's interesting to watch straight through because Gene Roddenberry is running the show for like the first, I think, 2 seasons almost. And he was really big on the, like, you have to tell a story in this episode.
Right, right, right.
So that's DS9. DS9 is right. Like, this is the story, this is the story, this is the story. Then Roddenberry passes away.
Right.
And now they're like, we're going to tell the politics of Star Trek. Like, this is how this galaxy works. This is who hates who. This is why they don't like each other. And then we're going to introduce these other people from across the galaxy. And it's so good. It's so good.
It's awesome. I have some performance quibbles with DS9.
Oh, Sisko's. Mm-hmm. Sisko's.
Mm-hmm. It's not just Sisko.
Okay.
It's Kira Nerys.
Okay.
I feel is a little over the top. But then there's fucking, what's his name? Who's Odo?
Quark and Odo are like my two
Quark
favorites.
Quark and
Odo's amazing. They're the MVPs of that show.
Yeah. There's Cisco, but he does.
Such a weirdo.
I may have brought it up before. He does something that is the awesomest thing any captain does in any of the shows. He, like, there's a moment
he
where
chops wood.
He does that. Beautiful day. Yes, he'd have to sing it.
A beautiful day.
Yeah. But the it's just like it's my favorite moment of any captain. So in that case, I love him.
Okay.
For that one moment. In all the Star Trek.
Have you guys seen The Captains?
Yes.
That documentary where...
Yeah, and he tries to sing anytime he can.
Like,
he's a giant weirdo.
Yeah. Yep.
At least he comes by it honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
I've met him. I got something signed by Cisco.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Nice. My favorite one, though, is to this... I met Shatner.
Yes.
And too. That one is... He woke up... First of all, that man needs to do a class on signing. He's the greatest signer ever. He signs, gives you your 15 seconds of talking to you, and then passes whatever down.
I got to meet him, too.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's right, you did.
Super nice. Like,
yep. And gives you that direct eye contact.
Exactly.
Signs while he's looking right at you, and you're just like, this dude has signed 10 million signatures
in
his life.
I mean, he's like the OG meet and greet, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
There honestly is this could be a whole other podcast, but like I think like a real art form to those signings, because my family and I were talking about this. Like, we recently, my oldest daughter Evie wanted to meet Anthony Michael Hall, so the four of us, myself, my wife Christy, youngest daughter Mia, and Evie walked up with Evie. And what often happens if, like, we go up, like, as a family, and I get it, like, let's say Evie's the one who's getting the autograph. Everyone else might be getting addressed, especially Mia, because she's the little kid, which, of course, is going to rub Evie the wrong way. But we meet Anthony Michael Hall. He says hello to Evie, shakes my hand, Christy's hand, Mia's hand, was wonderful to all of us, then immediately turned his attention back to Evie. Because she was the one getting the autograph. He gave her his time.
That's huge.
And it was like the most... Again, he was wonderful to all four of us. But like, we walked away being like, oh, he's a fucking rock star. Like, yep. He just knew exactly how to handle it. I really do think there's like an art form to it. Because there are plenty of celebrities and stuff that we've met at these cons that are also like, you're just a part of a whatchamacallit.
Well, like, that's where Shatner changed for me. I also got a meet and greet with him, and he showed up at 10 a.m. I want to say he was like on some kind of sleeping meds, and they drag him in there. They literally helped him walk into the thing. He sits on a stool, half asleep, and just smiled, didn't change his expression as one at a time. We just walked up and took a picture next to Shatner.
The same. And my picture next to Shatner is just normal. Yours, you're doing the woo face, if you know us. A lot of our old photos, especially, like, we would hold up one finger and yell woo, and Adam's doing the woo face right next to William Shatner.
Who has no idea that there's a person next to him at that moment.
We might have told the story on the podcast before, so we don't have to tell the story, but Adam and I also met a bunch of Star Trek people, but Brent Spiner
was
a fucking
He's
highlight.
The best one ever.
Like, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. Really, of like the next-gen crew, we got to meet them all over the years. Whatever, they're all nice, I'm sure.
they're all nice, I'm sure.
Well, Gates McFadden doesn't do a lot of signing.
So,
she kind of
so Gates McFadden was the one that was cold, to me.
You know who's not that way? Pulaski,
right? She's the one I say. Riker was Riker complimented my beard, and it was like,
well, of course he
it'd
did.
Be like, I know, but it'd be
real
like
real ones know,
but it'd be like Michael Jordan complimenting my jumper. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was amazing to hear him. I remember like meeting Marina Sirtis, and she was like, I've been getting a First Contact poster signed, and she. When it was so funny because it was as if she's never seen a First Contact poster. And she was so excited and was telling me, like, I honestly think this is one of, she goes, not one of the best Star Trek movies, one of the best science fiction movies. She was selling me on it. And I'm like, you're right, Marina Sirtis.
I'm having you sign it. Yeah. Okay, back to Generations for a second.
Oh, good. That's the name of this episode.
Gates McFadden looks like there. I mean, she's very pretty, but like this was the one where like there's that scene where like you're. It's from Geordi's point of view, and she like comes over and starts talking to him, and I was like, oh, this is. She's beautiful in this. Like, I thought she looked really.
You know who I
stunning.
Thought looked amazing in this movie? Fucking Picard.
Yeah.
he does.
Like, he's shaven the hair so he doesn't have the horseshoe anymore, like he did on the show. Not in all seasons, but like, has really aged well. And is, I mean, whatever. Everybody looks great in the movie, but I thought Picard looked especially good.
Right. Okay, can I go back to my signing stories?
I didn't mean to interrupt the signing episode.
So years ago, we saw the cast of Next Generation interviewed by Shatner.
Yes, it was epic. Yes.
It was so much fun, and they're all so great and so much fun. But Marina Sirtis was like the MVP of that show because she just has like that crazy Cockney accent that she doesn't have on the show. Everything she says is like dirty.
Yep.
It was. She was amazing.
She was amazing. I forgot about that. That was a super fun night.
Yeah, it was.
I remember that one because Shatner opened up with a Gates McFadden joke, and it did not land at all. It was like, as they like to call her, Floodgates. And like everybody just in the entire place.
I can't believe I didn't kill.
<It's> like,
I got to when I'm so I met again. I can't tell these stories anywhere else. So please, just you just go with this. But an absolute highlight of my life was I met Patrick Stewart and
your kids better be in this story with the highlight of your life.
No, I said one of.
Oh, okay.
It was Patrick Stewart was next to oh my God, guys, Geordi LaForge.
LeVar Burton.
Thank you, LeVar Burton.
I knew it, but I wasn't going to say it. I wanted you to struggle.
I
should have left
staring
him hanging.
So you meet Patrick Stewart first, and then it's LeVar Burton. And so Patrick Stewart's very nice, and then I'm waiting for LeVar, and LeVar's talking to a fan. He was being so nice, but was talking and talking. And finally, Patrick Stewart's inner Picard came out, and he's like, LeVar, you're holding up the line! So amazing.
I think that's the nice thing about Star Trek is like they're famous in our world, but they're not famous in a lot of people's. When we had Patrick Stewart's gone to bigger things, but a lot of these, like, you know, Michael Dorn, this is, this is the biggest thing he's done, you know? So they're so accessible in our little nerd world that just makes it, you know, like so much more personal, I think. It's just nice to watch this movie and, you know, have all of this other, I don't want to say baggage, but just experiences to come back to this movie and see it. It just really is a different experience this time watching it than when I was growing up.
Am I onto something, though, in terms of it feeling a lot like an episode of the show?
Yeah, sure.
And I think that might be one of the things I'm responding to with it.
Sure. But, yeah. Again, I'm not saying that necessarily as a to ding the movie, but I just wish it were a little more cinematic. I think it starts pretty cinematic. I think the first act of the movie, and I don't just mean the stuff with Kirk. I mean, we meet the Enterprise crew and on the boat, and then they come back to the Enterprise, and there's a crisis, and I'm on board for all that. I just think there's a certain point of the movie, maybe halfway through, I don't know, maybe a third, where it downshifts into this gear that just is like, oh, we're just going to stand around and talk a lot for a lot of this movie. And then it picks up steam again at the end, sort of. I think the climax is a little underwhelming. Because it does come down to just Kirk and Picard and Sorin, like, standing around some cliffs. And that's fine. Like, again, as a Star Trek fan, you're like, Kirk and Picard together. I can't believe it. But it's like, it's better than, okay, it's like, I don't love Freddy versus Jason, okay?
Okay.
I know you're maybe a bigger fan than me. Didn't you do a Staying Positive on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have become a bigger fan of it, but I'm still not.
It's totally watchable, again, because I like Freddy and I like Jason, and it's like, okay, it's like watching Star Trek. It's like, I'm happy when I'm watching this shit, you know? But then I read a book called, is it Slash of the Titans?
Yes.
Okay. Have you read that book?
I've tried. The print is so small.
It's illegible, that fucking book. I managed to get through it. My eyesight was better when I read it, because now I would be like, anyway.
Right.
I'm pantomiming holding the book far away from me, for those of you, you know, listening to a podcast and not in the room with us. You read all these versions, including possibly one by Ronald D. Moore, of like what could have been, and you're like, well, thank God they made the movie they made, right? And I feel the same way about Generations, where it's like, well, it could have been way worse. The mechanics by which we get Kirk and Picard together, the story that they're telling with the two of them, like, I'm sure there were lots of versions that could have been way worse. And so I am happy with the one that we got. Like I said at the beginning, I like this movie just enough. I like it just fine. But I do feel like for the first outing of the Next Gen crew, like it does at times feel like a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really wish that I could see this from a lens of an older Star Trek fan, like somebody who grew up with the original series, watched the movies, enjoyed Next Gen, and now you find out, you see that, you know, like that first poster, you know, and it's got Shatner and Picard in it. It says Star Trek Generations. Like, I wonder if that lived up to the hype that somebody in that position would have.
It was their Freddy vs. Jason.
That's the, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They were kind of ahead of the curve in that way, in terms of, like, nowadays everything is fan service.
Yes.
And this movie was ahead of the curve. Like, yeah, I think we know what people want. Like, I think it's weird that they felt like after seven seasons of Next Generation being a highly rated syndicated show, that they were like, they can't make it on their own. We need to bridge it with the original crew. People will be lost if they don't see Scotty and Chekhov for 7 minutes.
We need to know if Sulu had a kid or not.
Right. Like, and again, when they wrote this, it was supposed to be the whole original crew. And most of the original crew was like, thanks, but no thanks. Because 6 was a good send off. And I understand them not wanting to come back for the first 12 minutes of Generations. Like, I don't begrudge
Shatner
that.
Has not seen a check that he will not cash.
Well, without him, there's no movie, right? They can't do this version of the movie. But the idea that, like, casual viewers would be lost without the original, like, what casual viewers are going to see Star Trek Generations? Maybe there are a bunch.
Do you think that that's what that was? I just thought it was like a passing of the torch.
Yeah.
But
do we need a passing of the torch?
No, you're right.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, the torch is only being passed, like, for the sake of the audience, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're right.
I'm talking myself in circles here.
I don't know.
Well, I like it. I like it.
I had something else I wanted to ask about the movie, and now I don't remember. Oh, we need to talk about Kirk's death.
Okay. I thought it was a bit anticlimactic, or not. I don't think it. Yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, he fell to his death, which I don't know.
And what's the thing he says?
Oh,
we had fun?
No, it's a great.
It was fun?
It was. His last line is he just looks off space and goes,
oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. Which I think was ad-libbed by Shatner. Okay.
Yes.
I like it. I like that last line.
Yeah, it was supposed to be... I read that. It was supposed to be him, like, looking into the great beyond, if you will.
Right. Which he's already seen, because we've seen Star Trek V.
Right.
He's already met God.
God was not who he expected.
But you again would have been a great...
we meet again. I'm going to punch you in the other face now. sick V'ger on your ass.
V'ger.
V'ger. Oh, boy.
I didn't need Shatner to die.
But. No, I actually would have been fine with him being like, all right, we beat this guy. I'm going back to the Nexus.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you guys catch me up to that thing? You guys got a ship, right?
Live out the rest of my days like chopping wood and riding horses and fucking Antonia or whatever her name is. Like... Let him just be happy, right? Let him retire.
Although that would have been another interesting level. It's like, you have a ship. Well, actually, it's actually crashed over there. Had I come out about a couple hours earlier, none of this would have happened.
What would your nexus be?
This.
It don't say, well, I was going to say, don't say, like,
talking about Star Trek with you two.
Yeah, I don't think it gets better than this.
No.
But it is a hard question to answer because, you know, you can get in trouble with the wife and such the right thing. Well,
so the answer cannot be, like, my current life. With
okay.
So, yeah, not that.
Back in the late 90s, us just hanging out at the comic book store. I mean, that's it right there. That was
totally, guys.
You mean before we knew Patrick? I agree.
Yeah.
So I
would go with that. Was that you? And,
yeah, honestly, like, it's that.
Does it have to be, like, it's a memory?
No, I guess it doesn't have to because Picard's isn't.
Right.
Right.
I still don't know what it would be. This is a heavier question than I was prepared to answer.
Sorry.
What? Okay. No, go ahead.
My instinct is honestly, like, yes, those, like, hanging out all day, every day at the comic book store with you guys. Or, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm serious. I have the fondest memories of, like, being a kid, being, like, a little kid who got to stay home from school. Let's say I had, like, strep throat or something. I'd go with my mom to Walgreens to get, like, a prescription. She'd buy me a G.I. Joe.
Mm.
And I would just, I'd be home, not at school, by myself, playing G.I. Joe.
Watching Gandhi.
Watching. They wouldn't let me watch Gandhi.
But I want to see Gandhi, Mom. But have
Gandhi
you seen The Omen?
I don't want to, like, give anything away. I don't want to give it away. Never mind.
What?
I was going to bring up something that's going to be on reserve seating.
Tomorrow. It's fine.
You made me think of my mom. Like, I didn't think about it until we were talking on reserve seating. We did Desperado this week. And I said, like, That movie means a lot to me because I connected to a lot of people. And I said, you, Adam Thos, and...
waiting for my name. I guess it's not coming.
Patrick, when
we're taking over this podcast, Patrick.
I said, my mom...
I need a break. I'm going to go chop wood.
If you remember, Adam, my mom never... she loved that movie. Never remembered the name. She just referred to it as the one where Antonio Banderas is looking for Bucho.
She remembers Bucho,
yeah,
but not
that's
Desperado.
What I said. Like, she remembered Bucho.
That's amazing.
Right.
Is the number to the phone in my car?
He's a sexy individual in that movie.
Antonio Bucho? Or Bucho?
Antonio Banderas.
Joaquin Galaneda? Yes. Yeah. It's like the best. Him and Salma Hayek. It's the best any two people have ever looked. Yes. It's unreal.
I told... Again, this is all in reserve seating, so I'm sorry, guys. Like, but
guys, listen to or go and watch a reserve seating.
But I was telling Chrissy, like, I remember watching Desperado when we were younger and being like, "Am I, like, attracted to Antonio Banderas?
this is a little weird."
So, and then someone comes.
Yeah, no, he's very handsome and charismatic in that movie.
Anyway, I say way more on reserve seating, so please tune in.
Definitely, yeah. We were talking about your nexus. Oh, yeah. How fucked up is it, right? So you're talking about, like, being home alone alone, but just you and your mom or, you know, whatever, on a sick day, and, like, it's a great feeling.
Yep.
The first thing I think of is, like, oh, but then, like, 2 o'clock rolls around and, you know, school's about to be over in an hour and it's not special anymore. And that's what I think of. I think of that sick feeling of, like, that weird Sunday night feeling where it's like...
Oh, I hate the Sunday night feeling.
But that's 2 o'clock. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what show would come on where you realize, like, oh, this special little day that was just mine is about to end.
I don't think...
I'm a real glass half empty kind of guy. Yeah,
I don't think I, like, focused on...
No,
that,
nor
I
should you. That's why I'm saying, like, why is that where my brain went?
I was a kid that, even as a kid, honestly, before I met Adam Thos and you, Patrick, I feel like I keep leaving.
No,
before I met Adam, before I became, like, close with Adam, I was a kid. I had, like, plenty of friends, but I was probably happiest when I was alone, and I didn't know how to tell my friends, I don't want to hang out today. So, like, having... a sick day was great because I got to be by myself.
And you could just be like, strep, guys, sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I know it's like a weird
That'd be a weird nexus.
My mom was a nurse, so I didn't get sick days. It was like, like, you're going back. But mom, it's like red, and I can't go.
That's so funny.
Shit.
What else about Generations? Anything?
I okay, just I because like we were talking about the Nexus, short, yeah. And we were talking about Patrick Stewart, like, what do we think about his Nexus? Like, I kind of like that it's almost like it becomes like a Christmas carol, and it's like, when did this come out? Like, when during the year?
94!
No, I know it came out in 94. Do we
end
know?
Of 94? No, I'll tell you.
Was it like a Christmas thing? Like, would it make sense
I
to
feel
be?
Like it was November. It was November.
Okay, so it might be why it's Christmassy themed? Like, how do you feel about that?
First of all, I just want to say, like, if this were like Patrick and Adam Risky doing this podcast, yeah. They would never ask when did this come out. Like, okay. The two of them are amazing at me. Like, we remember when this came out on May 24th, 19th.
Adam's way better than me.
Yeah, Adam's
I knew November because this is stupid, but it was like I had a speech tournament that Saturday. I think Doug had just gone to see it the night before and was like telling me about it on Saturday. Because this was the speech tournament that like didn't happen because our bus didn't have heat or something, and we were so happy that we just didn't have to go. Anyway, that's it.
making connections.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, so I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is, I had friends before the two of you too. Jesus.
Our next podcast is like, you're just going, and by the way, guys, I got a surprise guest. Here's Doug,
yeah.
My friend. My friend that I've known longer than both of you.
Sorry, I totally forgot your question.
What do I think of his Nexus?
Yeah, his Nexus.
I'm in on, like, all things Picard, so.
Picard or Shatner? Oh, we're talking Picard?
Picard's Nexus.
Picard's Christmas Carol.
Yes, right. Got it. Right.
I like any time he gets to, like, imagine life outside the Enterprise, you know? Because, like you said, he's devoted so much of his life to it that I like any time that he's, like...
I was laughing because, like, his kids, you know, they're in the future. They probably have the most kick-ass toys, and they're opening, like...
Yeah.
It's just the most Picard thing ever. Like, thanks for the puzzle, the wooden puzzle, Dad.
Like, you know what I mean? That'll teach you to be practical.
I've got you one that you put together yourself.
A tea making kit. Gee, thanks.
I know it sucks that he loves all things old and British.
It's almost like he's gonna go.
Speaking of which, can we wrap this up? I gotta finish Elizabeth.
Well, I was just like, Patrick, you're telling us about, like, you know, the your Nexus, and like the 2 o'clock happens, and like you're Picard in that situation, like, you know, none of this is real,
right?
It's all gonna come to an end.
Yep,
that's it. It's the impermanence of life.
Yep.
So maybe that's a connection.
Maybe. Maybe that's why I relate to Picard, because he knows it's all gonna end.
I relate to Shatner because I like to fuck.
You could have said Riker if you want to keep it on topic. Yeah. Nice. I mean, Shatner's in.
Adam, you're
too monogamous.
You're sensitive data. Let's be honest.
I am. I'm sensitive data. I can't move. I'm scared.
You're emotion chip data.
Emotion chip data.
Telling terrible jokes.
Oh, my gosh.
It is on point of, like, me bringing up something that happened 7 years ago and being like, ha, wasn't that hilarious? And you being like, what?
That is a weird thing. Like, I love all things Star Trek. I don't know that I relate to a single Star Trek character.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't see myself in any of the characters. Right. I don't think. Like, which extends to Enterprise, which extends to Voyager, which extends to Deep Space Nine. Like, I can't think of any character that I'm like, oh, I see myself in that character.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
Maybe Chief O'Brien. Me and Chief O'Brien got a... He's the one I see the most. No idea why.
You're Wesley and your dad is Picard.
Oh my God, totally. Adam, clean off this room.
Yeah, I got nothing. That's
interesting. What was... Maybe you guys are the wrong guys to ask because you're not... Because
we're so close.
Just saying. Wouldn't have hurt you to call me.
I heard about this guy who lives in Elk Grove. Let's call him.
What was the dust up with Will Wheaton like a few days ago?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
He was like upset. It's like four stages removed. So what's the point of bringing it up? Larry David did a bit where he like beat up Elmo. He was like being interviewed and Elmo was also there and he came out and like beat the shit out of Elmo. And then Will Wheaton put online. I don't know any of this. It's all like what I sort of halfway glean. So somebody okay. understanding it better than me is like, Bromley, you're getting all of this wrong. But Will Wheaton was like,
can't wait
upset
the
about it.
Section.
Yeah.
He's upset about
Larry David beating up Elmo. Oh, okay. And then people turned on Will Wheaton, and when they were like, fucking grow up, Will Wheaton, you suck. You're always a downer. Which may be true. I don't know. I haven't really had a problem with Will
Have
Wheaton.
Have you met Will no. Wheaton?
No, I've not met
No?
Will
okay.
You're
no.
white whale.
But
I'm sorry. White whale.
But Christy met Will Wheaton.
Did she?
Yes. Because our friend Nancy would always drag
Chris comes up on at least every
every exactly. time we're in the run.
Exactly would drag Christy to whatever photo op she got, and yes, he wanted a Will Wheaton one, and he was one of those guys that like you could not touch Will Wheaton, so it's the most awkward looking photo op. Oh. Where his it was like him, David, what's his name, Boreanaz? What's
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He was like he has his hands in his pockets because you weren't allowed to touch him. There's always the awkward-looking photo ops, but yeah, he was... So she met Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton?
Wheaton. Wheaton? from what I understood, and I don't know how he couched the whole thing, but I was kind of on Will Wheaton's side. Like, you don't need to beat up Elmo. It's not funny.
Yeah,
Larry
sure.
David. Like, I get it. You created Seinfeld. You're a funny guy.
Yeah.
But you also directed Sour Grapes.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not so funny.
Yeah, maybe you're not perfect, Larry David.
I don't know. I would not beat up Elmo if given the chance.
There's a great Will Wheaton story that he tells about the premiere maybe of season 3 of Picard. How, I think it's season 3 of Picard, that like they were all those guys were at the premiere. And so somebody said to like the cast, stand up. And everybody stood up on Will Wheaton because he wasn't part of the cast. And Jonathan Frakes was like, dude, get up. Stand up. And he tells a beautiful story about how like Frakes was always, because Will Wheaton had a very rough upbringing with
yes.
his parents. And Jonathan Frakes was always the best to him.
Oh, that's
and
an absolute,
Jonathan Frakes right. is like an awesome dude.
He's awesome. And yeah. also, by the way, in my opinion, if you've seen Picard season 3, the MVP of that fucking...
He carries
I haven't
that.
Watched it yet.
He's... So good.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Frakes is like, yeah, he like steals that.
Season,
to me.
Yeah. Season 1, great. Skip 2, go right to 3.
I'm like halfway through 2.
It's awful.
Only to I get to like 3.
It. Right.
So you don't have to watch it.
I know. That's what everybody tells me. Rob just finished maybe rewatching 3, and he's like, no, you don't have to watch 2 to watch 3. And I'm like, yes, I do.
I'm the same way as you,
yeah.
but 2's, yeah, totally rough.
Okay.
But we, yeah, got through it in 3's. A lot of fan service, but I was there for it.
Yeah,
it's so great.
Jonathan Frakes also has become quite the director. Because
director
he,
of First Contact.
He made First yeah. Contact, for fuck's
yeah.
sake.
But no, he does a lot of the also, he's done
he does
Strange New Worlds. He's done,
yeah, he does episodes.
Yeah, he does episodes of that. And
nice.
He's also...
I have yet to see an episode of Strange New Worlds.
It's pretty great.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's like, it's throwback. It's like they went back to like the... Let's tell individual stories. So like
okay.
each one's like, but then he also, I believe he's done. Don't quote me on it. I think he's done one or two episodes.
The
of
internet is
Lower
forever.
Deck.
So Lower Decks.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Lower Decks right now is my favorite thing Star Trek's doing. It's hilarious.
Lower Decks is super funny.
And it's only for Star Trek fans. Nobody else.
Yeah, it's, right.
gets it.
Right.
I was looking up to see. Yeah. Well, he's voiced it. I'm looking
okay.
up his directing credits now. Sorry.
It's like when I came, when Las Vegas used to have a Star Trek exhibit, and when you'd wait in line, a Klingon would tell jokes, and I would be the only one laughing. And I remember coming home from Vegas telling you and our friend Nick, sorry, Patrick, you and Nick these jokes because I needed somebody to find them funny as well. It's the same thing.
And I would have loved it, and I did love it.
This episode feels like that fucking... who was the guy who did the He-Man thing?
No.
Bittner.
Bittner.
Oh, no. Oh, it feels like Bittner all over again.
Come on, sorry.
Where it's just like wounds being opened and then salt being rubbed in said wounds. It doesn't look like he directed any of Lower Decks, okay. But he did direct a lot of Picard and a lot of Discovery.
Okay.
Which I've only seen two seasons of Discovery, but I even liked Discovery. Like, I'm so indiscriminate when it comes to Star Trek because I'm just fucking happy to be watching any
Star Trek.
I've watched
all of Discovery. Discovery gets messy.
Okay.
Like, they kind of don't
really... The first
really...
two seasons were kind of messy, I was still in on it.
It doesn't get any better. Okay. Like, it kind of just kind of stays a mess with, like, characters coming in and out and not really knowing what's going on, but, man, I am all aboard on Strange New Worlds.
Okay.
I mean, I've told you guys this, but I haven't said this on the podcast, but, like, my son was like, Dad, I want to watch an episode of Star Trek. And me, being nerd dad, was like, yes, let's watch this, okay? And so a new episode of Strange New Worlds dropped, and I'm like, hey, I've got to watch the new episode. Let's watch it. So the bad guys in it are not the Klingons, it's the Gorn. And the Gorn are like Alien. Like, it's like the movie Alien. And, like, the entire episode is like Alien, where there's, like, a Gorn loose on the ship and, like, killing people. And my son is like... Like, my son's, like, cuddled up next to me. He's like, Dad, are all Star Trek like this? I'm like, no! Like, this is definitely something new. I have never experienced this level of terror watching a Star Trek episode before.
No, shut up. I'm going to put the Descent on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I love that your 9-year-old son is the one who has to police what he watches.
That's such a bad dad.
I probably shouldn't be watching this, right? One of us has to be the adult here.
Well, okay, like, you know, I could tell this here, too. I had the entire debacle with the Halloween, with showing him Halloween.
Right.
Like, that was so frustrating. Like, you know, I'll tell it again. Sorry, guys.
That's fine.
Like, so my son, he wanted to watch Halloween, and I wanted to show him Halloween, but I grew up on Halloween watching it on cable, so I didn't have to worry about nudity or any of that stuff because it was always edited out. But I knew that there was nudity in it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, listen, I got to find the edited version. So I go online and I find in 2000 that they have the TV edit.
Right.
So I buy the TV edit and my son yells out, boobs! And like, there's full frontal. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, maybe it just... I don't know what's going on here, and it turns out it's the edited for length version, not edited for actual TV, for content. So
why? We're so far afield of talking about Star Trek Generations, and I apologize. I, at the opening of the show, I'm pretty sure I said, if you're looking for us to be talking about Star Trek Generations, I apologize.
We did talk a lot about it.
We talked a lot about Star Trek.
Okay.
I don't know if we talked that much about Generations. Why? I don't pat myself on the back for much, but like 3 or 4 years ago when my kids wanted to watch Halloween, I was like, I'm just going to show them Halloween. And like, if they see PJ Souls' boobs, so be it, because they're also going to see Michael Myers murdering people.
Right. Yeah.
Why are we okay with kids seeing Michael Myers murdering people, but not okay with them seeing PJ Souls' boobs?
I had a teacher in film school describe how he went to go see Dances with Wolves, and he was sitting by a dad with his young son, and when the scenes were like the Native Americans were scalping people, the dad was explaining to the son what they were doing, why they were doing it, and then when the sex scene came up, he took the son out of the theater. And I remember my teacher saying, like, that seems he should have handled that the same way.
Right.
And mind you, I can't say I would be much better. I feel like I'm wired that way too, when really, but I know better because I agree with that. I think, like, but I also have two daughters who don't want to. We were watching Critters 2, and there's a brief, I forgot that there were boobs in that movie. And yeah,
it's a great joke because she has the staple.
Exactly. And
do you know the joke?
No.
I'm trying to remember it. Like, they can look at something and take that form. They're like aliens who can see something and take that form. And so he opens up a magazine and sees a centerfold and takes the form of the centerfold, staple and all.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Right? Okay. I mean, Mick Garris.
But my girls did not want to watch. They like freaked out because they're watching it with their dad. So I get that.
Yeah. I can't say it was like content.
I'm not questioning anybody's parenting.
No,
like, for
no.
real.
I know.
No, question me. I showed him The Descent. Okay. Like, but right before that, I showed him. And again, it was rated R. I think more for. I don't even know what's for. I think it's for language. But I showed him Child's Play. And like when you're looking at violence and stuff like that, like I think I brought up to you, like Halloween, the first one, is not, by today's standards, is not a gory movie.
It's pretty bloody.
There's no blood.
Yeah, yeah. And like same with Child's Play. Like it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
The change was the nudity thing, and that was like, do I want to go that way yet? And so yeah, but you know what? We're in there. He's seen them.
Right.
Like it's part of it now, so
I don't know. I you know, it's obviously part of a bigger issue where movies are becoming more violent and less sexual, you know?
Yes.
As we become more puritanical when it comes to sex, but not when it comes to violence, when we're just like anything goes. Like you watch The Walking Dead and you're just like, yeah, this is fine on a Sunday night.
I went to church this morning. It's fine.
Right.
You can watch this now. Right. You can do this.
The most fucked up shit you've ever seen is on The Walking Dead, but like, God forbid someone take their shirt off. Anyway, you know where they didn't take their clothes off? Star Trek Generations.
Yeah.
Was offered to Leonard Nimoy and he turned it down. And so instead they went with a guy who had done the show. Which, again, is fine, but maybe not when you are looking to open things up and make them more...
Make it more cinematic.
I keep saying that word, cinematic, whatever that means. Yeah. Because now the TV shows that are currently running are incredibly cinematic, you know? So I'm not saying that you can't be cinematic on TV. But at the time...
I thought that was like Leonard Nimoy's thing. Like, he wanted to get into directing. Wasn't that how they got him to do... Search for Spock?
Yeah.
Yeah, he directed.
Yeah.
He wanted to fuck with the script, right? And they were...
I believe
they
so.
They were not open to messing with the script at all. So he said, no, thank
because
you.
It was perfect.
And then they want... I think I got this from IMDb Trivia, and they wanted him to make a cameo as well. And he felt that the dialogue didn't sound like it was coming from Spock. And so they gave those lines to Scotty, to which Leonard Nimoy said, and my point is proven.
Yeah, right.
That you can just give it to anybody.
Right. Nope. Nope, it's gone. Sorry. It was in my head.
If you could go back, if you could change something in the movie, what would you change? Like, how would you tell this story different than it's already been told?
Like, Picard meeting Kirk?
Not so much. I mean,
because truth be told, if I
could just
change
get rid of
something,
the Shatner stuff,
I might. Which isn't to say that I hate the Shatner stuff. Which isn't to say that I don't like the idea of the passing of the torch or whatever. But I might have just gone all in on Next Generation. Like, six is a great ending for everyone involved. Yeah. Which isn't to say that I think six is a perfect movie. Because I don't necessarily think the stuff with Kim Cattrall works because it was supposed to be Kirstie Alley, right? We can relitigate six, which for a lot of people is their favorite Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's great. I love it. It was a great send-off to the point where, like, everyone signs the credits, you know? It's like, it's great.
Right.
Goodbye, everybody. And so to bring them back doesn't necessarily cheapen six, but... didn't need to be done. If we're going to start making Next Generation movies, we can just make Next Generation movies. That would be the thing that I would change.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
No?
I don't know what I would change. Because I do like. There's a part of me agrees with Patrick. Maybe just go all in on next gen. But I do love Shatner and I love Kirk. And again, like watching it this time, I enjoyed that part more than I ever have before. So yeah, I don't know that I would take it out. Maybe just somehow find a way to bring in the other characters, give them more to do, like Patrick said earlier.
Like Data gets a lot.
Data does. He does.
But some of the other characters are very underserved.
Yes. Worf is barely in it.
Right.
Riker, right.
Which, you know, was less of a concern when they were making, like, original series movies because it seemed like it always came down to just the three.
That's all. Yes. I mean, Sulu's not a huge character in the TV show.
Yeah. Right. But then you get something like Star Trek IV where, like, oh, everybody gets some business. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of rewarded, you know, yeah, for being a fan of even the smaller characters. So I get that it's harder to serve a larger ensemble, and Next Generation was a larger ensemble.
Because, you know? I mean, Worf is the man in First Contact.
Right.
So they give him a lot to do in that one.
If you were any other man,
I would kill you where you stand.
There it is. There it is. So there was a critic that I used to read and really like, and I won't name them. On mic, but I'll tell you who it was afterwards if you want, who used to argue that, like, he was not a Next Generation guy at all.
I think I know.
Yeah. Loved original series, didn't love Next Generation at all, and would argue that, like, A, they were lame, and B, that they could never work on screen, like, on a movie screen, because they were so sort of... I'm trying to remember how he worded it. TV bound? Like, he objected to the whole utopian concept. But that they were so made for TV that they would never work in a movie. And this was, I mean, in the recent past, this wasn't like pre-First Contact.
Right.
This wasn't like, ooh, and then he ate his words because First Contact came out and kicked ass. I don't agree, obviously. I just was wanting to bounce that off you guys.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Okay.
Again, like in a post-First Contact.
First Contact is the one that, right.
Right.
That
just, like, it proves that wrong.
Exactly.
And, yes, First Contact proves that wrong. I can see maybe a little bit where he's coming from. You had kind of mentioned it, that, like, you know, Data's got two plot points. You know, Worf's got two plot points,
right,
you know, which is one of the things I like about DS9 is it kind of gives Worf a third plot point. But
see, I wonder if I stopped right as Worf arrived.
Okay.
Not on purpose. It was, I just stopped because, like, they took him off Netflix.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I don't own the series, unfortunately. But I know Worf gets a lot to do.
Yes.
And, like,
yeah. He's a big part of the last couple seasons.
Right.
But, like, I could see how, you know, you've explored the two aspects of every single one of these characters. Like, what else are you going to do with them? Like, in a bigger context. Whereas at least with the original series ones, you had, like with 4, you had these smaller characters that didn't really get explored that now we've got an opportunity to see that.
Yeah,
so
right.
I could see where he's coming from there.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, this one, I think one of the reasons it feels like an episode is if you watch the episode, there's never an ensemble in the episodes.
Right.
It's always like,
yeah,
this is a Worf episode. This is a what episode?
Yeah.
So, like, this one is a Picard episode.
Right.
And so, like, I think that might be kind of his criticism being proved right a little bit.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's a Picard episode with some Data.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we give him an emotion chip.
Right.
Now, I don't remember off the top of my head First Contact, Insurrection, Nemesis enough. Does he still have the emotion chip?
So in First Contact,
he gets the skin.
He gets the skin.
Which I feel like it something is going on with the emotion chip. So yeah, I think he still has the emotion chip.
I couldn't remember if they paid that off.
It is now a permanent part of him.
Okay, yeah. that's what I thought, but I couldn't remember. And we've done an episode on First Contact, me and Rob did, but I don't remember it.
Brent Spiner is interesting to me because I don't think I don't when he's not Data, I don't think he's fine. I don't think he's a great actor, just my opinion. But I can't imagine anyone else playing Data. I think he's perfect for Data. I don't know. I find that interesting. I really think like Data is a hard part to play.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people could pull it off. And I think
Jonathan Frank set him up. What is he supposed to be? Christ-like. That's what they said when we went to the like little thing. Like, I guess Jonathan Franks was like, "What did Gene Roddenberry tell you Data was supposed to be like?" And he was like, "Christ-like."
Who are the great actors outside of their Star Trek characters? Just out of curiosity.
Well, all right, but I'm just saying,
Patrick Stewart and
Patrick Stewart. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't. Maybe it's more about how I think Data would be hard. It's just a hard character.
Yeah.
To play.
Yeah,
and I think he's pretty.
He does a great job.
Yeah,
everybody's great at their characters. Yes. But I'm thinking. Yeah, as you're saying it, and I'm like,
Fresh Binder, though. I mean, okay, when we're looking outside of you know Next Generation, like he's the one who's probably done the most outside of it,
acting wise.
Yeah, acting wise.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
he's in Independence Day and a few other movies.
If you don't count the stuff that like LeVar Burton did.
Oh, that's true.
Before Next Generation?
Yeah.
Because before Next Generation, he was a star, you know, as opposed to being made a star by Star Trek, which is true of some other, like Kate Mulgrew was kind of a star before Voyager.
Yeah.
Bakula, obviously.
Yep.
Big star.
Huge.
Prior to Enterprise. A show I will once again go on record as liking.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, I think we've, you know, guys our age, we've all watched a few episodes of Quantum Leap.
I haven't really.
No?
No.
Yeah, no.
No?
Same here.
Okay. Well, but, I'll just sit here.
But I do like Enterprise.
Okay.
Is my point. And I love Jonathan Archer.
Okay.
Like, I think he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if I was going to change anything with Generations, I would... I get why they did it, but again, you kind of like why you gotta. It's like they needed to have something big happen. They need this big thing, which in my like the big thing is like Kirk dies. Like that's the big thing. You didn't have to destroy the Enterprise.
Well, I get, we'd already done it.
Yeah,
that's like, my issue. Is
but like they like we kind of were
in a cooler way.
Yes. They've done it better in other things. I guess maybe it's this like baptism, this like or like this. Not, I don't want to say baptism, but like this shedding of like the old. You know, this is no longer the TV show. We're gonna come back with a bigger and better Enterprise. But like you don't,
right.
You could have just had a new Enterprise. You didn't have to blow up or not blow up, but like completely destroy the old one. And it's just I don't know. That's if I could go back and you know. They could have just survived. They could have just been in the ship and beamed them up.
Right.
And he didn't have to bury Shatner on a planet with rocks.
With rock.
Like he could have like brought him back there and like brought him back to Earth and buried him in Iowa, man. Like you could have done this stuff. So
right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's it. We've
it was fun.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh my.
Oh my.
That's what he should have done.
Yeah. Balloon nut.
He should have said, oh my, as Sulu.
That would work.
Oh my. Oh my. Beautiful day.
Hadro. thank you guys very much for talking.
Patrick, it was nice to be back here, man.
Please come back.
Yeah, if I could take a minute.
Sooner.
Adam.
Yeah.
This was great being with you.
It was. It was so nice to talk to you and
so
be here with you.
I'm never happier than when I'm with you, and you specifically. So thank you, Adam, for being here.
I know.
Today.
Patrick, anyway, we just, like, rent out, you know, your podcast stuff to our own
podcast.
The thing is... just us talking about memories.
Listen.
Con stories.
F, this movie has always been bigger than me. We can all agree to that. At the end of the day, though, a little bit, it's my show. And so, to have you two come on my show, and then just talk about how close you are, how great it is that the two of you are friends and have always been friends, and that your friendship goes back. It does feel a little bit like being cucked. I guess it was a long way to go for me to.
It was worth it
to get there, but I guess if I'm going to be the Picard of F this movie, it's appropriate.
We're the Riker and Troy's. What's going on?
That, since we've already established that he is a cuck. Wow, we just ran out of gas. Well, yeah. So anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
Next week is the... we're already there. We're already kind of at the end of 1994 month in terms of... Erica and I will be counting down our favorite movies of 1994, which means she will have 27 ties, and will confuse Empire Strikes Back for Return of the Jedi. So, right? I mean, you couldn't have written it better.
No.
If you were a Patreon subscriber and had already heard her do it on the Patreon show, go back and listen if you don't know what we're talking about. But... also be a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/fthismovie.
I am a subscriber. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
Same.
Thank you. Also, follow us on social media at fthismovie. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. You know what we haven't mentioned? It's Mike Month on reserved seating.
It is.
And he's talking about Desperado. In case that hasn't come up.
You missed me.
So go to youtube.com/fthismovie and watch all of the Mike-centric episodes.
All of them. There'll be three as of tomorrow.
Do they have like a stand-up, like a Nick Cage
no,
thing?
No, they should,
of you?
Though.
I think we should get a Mike life-size stand-up for your house.
Okay.
I think it works.
I think we should have it for your house. You guys are so fucking close. Mike Month will take a pause next week for 1994 week at F This Movie, and then we'll resume.
It will resume for okay. The final movie.
Can we say what that is, or is that a surprise?
No, I think we said it on the episode that's airing tomorrow. It will be Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai.
Right.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie for a long time.
So good.
You gotta watch it one again.
It's awesome.
Yep.
Well, you know, what better time than Mike Month at Reserve Seating? Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening this far into the podcast. And mostly thank you, too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
No, for real. I love when the three of us get together.
Me too. It's a good time.
And podcast or just hang out. We should do it more often.
Yes.
Agreed.
I agree.
Okay. Awesome. Somebody take us out.
All right.
Beautiful day.
Thanks for listening to F This Movie.